Welcome back to Tap Out Radio. Joining me right now is the Diamond, Dustin Poirier. Dustin, how are you?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Now, you have so much on your plate right now, it's retarded. The first thing, you know, obviously your upcoming fight with the Zombie, but you've also had a big release over the past week of Fightville, which is an excellent documentary. I mean, even if you don't like documentaries, you'll love this. I mean, it's a fantastic story. Tell me a little bit about when you were making it.
It kind of happened quick. I was the guy who did it, Michael Tucker, was doing a documentary on veterans coming back from war and kind of following their post-war life. And one of the guys was a mixed martial artist, an amateur. And this was, let me see, maybe 2009 or around there. And we fought on the same card. And Michael Tucker kind of fell in love with the sport. And it just kind of snowballed really from there. He got in touch with the promoter. He got in touch with Tim Crater, you know, the gym owner where I was training at. And we all got together and he just started filming. He was there every day in the gym. And it just turned into this awesome documentary.
It's pretty cool because you get to see a lot of the behind the scenes stuff, and it doesn't seem scripted at all, which obviously it's not, which is the beauty part of it, you know, because
yeah.
There's no scripting to it. So good moments, some funny moments. I mean, it's definitely an all in one package. Now, how has the success of it been since you guys released it?
Hello.
Did
okay.
I lose you there?
Yeah, my phone cut out. I'm good, though.
Oh, okay. What I was saying was, since you guys have released it, you know, you had limited release in New York and in Los Angeles. You've also put it out on iTunes. How has the success been? What's been the feedback and all on it?
You know, so far, I've just got nothing but good reviews. I read a couple of reviews whenever Fightville reposts them or tweets them, and everything seems like everybody, you know, pretty much likes it. You know, like you said, it's not scripted, so it's either you're really going to like it or you're not, because it's just a bunch of guys training and fighting and kind of shows their stories and what they're going through at the time. And it was an awesome opportunity, you know, to have those moments on film. I'll have them forever now, you know. And even now, looking back on them, just that it was a couple years ago, I look back and I'm like, wow, you know, so much has happened since then. And then I watch it and I see all the moments that I just forgot about, you know. It's awesome to have that.
How do you feel now that you don't have to struggle so much to get where you want to be?
You know, it feels good to not have to try to balance a full-time job, but this is definitely a struggle, you know. And fighting at this level is a full-time job in itself. You know, before I was working a full-time job, 40 hours a week, and fighting as a professional fighter, and that was really tough. But, you know, I've fought my way to where at the level I'm at now, you know, I'm fighting full time, and it's definitely still a struggle.
Oh, absolutely, and I didn't mean to downplay the struggle that you always go through, but then, you know, in those really slim, tough times,
right.
You know, you were definitely doing a juggling act there.
Definitely was. You know, I'm still trying to find that balance now of you know, my work life and home life and hanging out with family, everything, you know, it's tough. But, you know, fighting takes so much of my time. I commit so much of myself to it when I'm in training.
Now, somebody needs to follow you around currently, I think, and make a part two of this documentary to show the step up, you know, to show where you're at now and to show all the things that you have to do now, which is basically a lot of people think you just go into training and you go out there and fight and that's it. But, you know, you have press junkets and you have autograph signings, you have after parties, you have pre-parties, you have so many things. I mean, I can't imagine what your interview schedule is like this week.
Right, yeah.
You know, and I think things like that should be documented a little bit because a lot of people just think that it's just training and going out there and slugging.
Yeah, it's a lot more than that. It's a business. And, you know, my last fight, as I keep moving up on the cards, I've seen more and more media, more and more press, radio interviews, and tighter schedules. And now that I'm the main event, you know, I can only imagine next week and the week after that with the emails and calls that I'll be getting. So,
well, here's the thing that I noticed. I've been interviewing you for over a year now. spent about 18 months. And when we first started interviewing you, you were very quiet and reserved and, gave just the meat and potatoes of the answer that you needed to get out, and that was it. You have become extraordinary at your interviews now. I love reading your stuff.
Oh, thanks. I guess it's just more comfortable. I'm more comfortable just speaking. I don't like feel nervous or anything. I guess at the beginning I kind of did, but now it's just, I've done so many of them now. It's just like you're really talking to me now.
Well, I think you've become quite the consummate professional at this. I've seen lots of your stuff, and you definitely have a flair for it. You're very, very informative, and you're doing a good job.
Thank you.
Now, one of the things I wanted to ask you that just isn't really detailed in your film very much, but what's been your toughest challenge to date, whether it be in life, in your career, whatever?
Just the whole journey of kind of finding myself, who I really am, and just growing up as a person and as a martial artist, that's been the struggle. But, I found me over these last couple fights and these last couple years. Really find out who I am, and I learned so much in my fights, not only, as a fighter, but just as a person, and traveling and training and meeting new people, just becoming who I am now, it's really, I'm really happy with who I am, and comfortable in my skin, and I think that journey was a struggle at the beginning.
When you were thrust into the limelight the way that you have, because your rise has been nothing short of miraculous, meteoric proportions. You got this kid. He's young. He's talented. He's good looking. He makes a good image for the UFC. You're like what, in my opinion, what you call a poster boy fighter. You're the whole package. It had to be something kind of shocking for you to be thrust into that so fast.
Right. I wanted it so bad, and I wanted to win fights, and I wanted everything to go, perfect. And the way it's gone so far, I couldn't have, written it in any better for it to play out. It's been amazing. I've been winning the fights, and the movie came out, and everything has just been falling into place for me. And I really think it's because of the hard work, setting it up. It's just setting things up. It's just the fruit of my labor from, the last 5 years of me giving myself to fighting.
Fantastic. It's a great story. Now let's move on over to your fight with the zombie, and let's talk about that. You got a tough fight on your hands, but you know what? Every fight for you is a tough fight, and you always manage to rise to the top and come out victorious. This one is a little different in that, of course, obviously I'm a big fan, so I'm on your team. I think that you're going to win, but this is going to be a real tough fight. You've got a guy that's got knockout power, but also has a durability to
Right.
slug it out from, second one to second none.
Right. Yeah.
So from beginning to end, you could have yourself a real war on your hands.
Right. And I look forward to that. Like I said before, I'm sure I told you I find out something about myself and about fighting every time. I feel like every fight changes me into a better fighter. So I'm excited to see what I'm gonna learn in this fight and where it's gonna bring me. Hopefully we get in those trenches and get in that dogfight and we're bloodied up and just push each other. I'm gonna rise to the occasion. He'll bring the best out of me. And like you said, every fight's a big fight. My last fight, I was nervous. I said, man, I worked so hard to get here, and now this young guy has an opportunity to come in here and make a name off of me. In his UFC debut, 20-year-old guy, youngest guy on the UFC roster, all the work I put in, he can come in here and I was confident in my skills, but it's still a fight. Anything can happen. So that was pressure on me. But I went in there and performed like I knew I could. And this next fight is pressure. I want to live up, to my last fight and the fight before that, and keep growing and keep the hype going and give me a title shot in the future, And so I feel the pressure for that too. I just want to continue to if I go in there May 15th and I perform up to my ability, and fight and let everything go, I'm gonna win. There's no doubt in my mind. So I just have to do that and have to stay focused and confident.
When you review the tapes of your fights, you know, everybody is always their own worst critic. And I noticed you said, if I go in there and I perform up to my ability, you know, do you ever look at your wins and pick them apart and just say, you know, God, I wish I could have done this, this, and this? Or do you look at your wins and you're pretty much satisfied because you know you did your best? You know that it's not about doing your best. It's more about, you know, you felt like you executed your game plan the way you wanted.
Right. I'm not sure about other fighters, but really, you know, the week after I fight, like when I get home, I watch the fight. You know, I go online and buy it from the UFC website, and I watch it a couple times, but I don't really sit there and like and live on those wins for too long. You know, you got to keep looking forward. When I'm 50 years old, I'll look back and I'll really I'll enjoy watching them. But right now, I feel like I'm a different fighter every fight. So in the fight, like if I felt like, you know, I really felt in a bad position or what did I do wrong, I'll look at it the next week and kind of see what I need to work on or, you know, and do that kind of stuff. But I don't really dwell on it too long. I don't watch the videos, like, you know, for the next month or anything like that. I kind of see what I did right, what I did wrong, and just get ready for the next one and try to improve my total game. But, you know, when I'm eating good food, eating pizza and stuff, when I get back home, I watch them. But like I said, other than that, you know, on to the next fight.
So it's not too overly critical or anything. There are some perfectionists out there that I've heard of that, you know, pretty much analyze their tape over and over and, you know, try and change things by the millimeter. None of that for you though, right?
Right. Like I said, like if, you know, if I fought a wrestler and he kept taking me down or something, I would go back and see, okay, what was I doing wrong? You know, exactly. But, I don't try to really break them down too much.
And on the other hand, with fight tape, how much emphasis do you put on viewing your opponent's fight tape for
right.
an upcoming fight?
On that side of it, I'm crazy about that. I watch it every single morning, a couple times a day. I eat breakfast and drink coffee before strength and conditioning early in the morning at like 5 o'clock. I watch it a couple times. Get back home, watch it again before I leave again for my next training session. I watch it a lot. And I really think in the Pablo Garza fight, you know, I did that. I kind of started watching them a lot, and I really think that helped. But my last fight was kind of short notice, a bunch of different changes over and over again, so I didn't have, you know, the months of preparation to watch. But in the zombie fight, you know, I had a good bit of time and a good bit of footage to watch. So I've been really watching a lot of his footage. And, you know, people change after fights and between fights. And his last fight was a 7-second knockout. So that's kind of hard to watch. So I'm just going back into further into his, you know, tapes and trying to see habits he has and what he's good at and what he's not so good at and breaking that down. But, yeah, I'm obsessed with the footage.
Okay, and when you watch the footage and you analyze it like that, how much of your game plan changes according to what you see in the footage?
It all depends. Like obviously, the Korean Zombie has a great chin. He has a heavy hand, so of course I'm not going to go out there and stand toe to toe and just try to brawl with him or try to, you know, overwhelm him. I'm going to have to pick my shots and stuff. So, you know. Like if he was a, yeah, it all depends on the style. But you know, I don't really go in there with game plans. I just go in there to fight. I feel like I'm dangerous anywhere the fight goes, and you know, every fight starts on the feet, so that's where we're gonna start. And whatever happens, you know, in whatever transitions or positions we get into, I'll just deal when it comes. But like for me, I don't go in there trying to game plan like I'm gonna take him down and try to wear him out or I don't do all that stuff. I just go fight.
Okay. All right. Now, when you're analyzing the tape on the zombie, do you see, you know, I noticed you said some, you know, you see his weaknesses, you see his strengths. Where do you see his most glaring weakness that you can capitalize on?
I think he gets a little bit emotional and you know, we've seen it over and over again with him. The technique goes out the window, starts getting really wild, off balance. And I think I'm a little bit more of a accurate striker and a little bit slicker with my stand-up. He obviously has great stand-up skills. I can see flashes of it in between, you know, his brawling, but most of the time, you know, when he gets hit, he wants to hit you five times harder, and he drops his hands and gets crazy. So I'm gonna have to pick my shots and fight a smart fight, like a professional, and I think I will. And you know, that's pretty much it.
With a win over the zombie, and I don't want to put you in a position where you're looking past him. Basically, what I want to know is, if there's a win with the zombie, where do you feel that puts you in the title contention lineup?
You know, if I go in there and beat the zombie, I definitely think I'm in the top of the featherweight division. You know, the past couple of fights, I was kind of pushing it off. But I feel like, you know, a unanimous decision.
Wait. Can you back up just a little bit? We just lost connection with your phone there for just a second. So if you'd start at the beginning of your answer there for where you feel you'll be in the line of contention, please.
Okay. I feel like I'll be, you know, in the top of the featherweight division, you know, with a couple of other guys. Mm-hmm. If I go out there and beat him decisively, or finish him, you know, beat him unanimous decision, or submission, or, you know, if I just go out there and finish the fight, I think I'm up there. I put it off in the past, saying I need more experience, because I just didn't want to rush it and get myself into something I wasn't, you know, ready for. Those UFC lights are bright. It's a big stage. There's a lot of pressure, but, you know, I'm dealing with and getting more comfortable every fight. And if I win, if I beat the zombie May 15th and everything goes as planned, maybe one more fight and then the title. You know, I don't know who Aldo's fighting. Who's he going to defend his belt against soon? But I saw how
he's going to be fighting Eric Coach.
Oh, wait, was announced?
Yeah, it's been announced. Yes, sir.
Okay, so he's going to fight Eric Coach. And Hattu Hayoki is going to fight Ricardo Lamas. You know, I'd like to fight the winner out of Hattu Hayoki, Ricardo Lamas, and then the title.
Okay. And I like a man with a plan. That's good stuff. Now, okay, I'm going to switch gears again here, because, you know, we've pretty much exhausted that subject. And I want to get your opinion, because this is something that's in the forefront of MMA for the past couple of weeks. And that's the you know, the TRT thing and the steroid controversy and things like that. What exactly are your thoughts on TRT? Not any other steroid or any other hormone or you know, performance enhancer, just TRT.
You know, that's such a... who knows what that stuff really, like, guys have,
right.
Guys can talk to doctors and weasel their way through it to get it. But like, you know, how many guys out there really do have low testosterone? I don't know. I would think it'd be like more guys toward the mid 30s or so. I don't really know. I'm not, you know, I have no idea about that stuff, but I do think it should be regulated more. If a guy's really, really low testosterone, maybe, you know, to a regular level. But these guys are abusing it, obviously, you know. And I don't know. I've never messed with any of that stuff. I don't. I have no idea. But I just think it should be regulated more, maybe more random drug tests, or all the UFC guys should have to go through one company or, you know, legitimate doctors. You guys can't go out and find their own doctors in different places and you know, do whatever they do to get the treatment. I just think it needs to be regulated a lot better, because people are abusing it.
And with that abuse, it kind of puts a black eye on the entire sport.
Right. Yeah. You hear about it so much. As soon as you hear TRT, I think about, you know, guys in MMA. I didn't even know about TRT until the guys started selling for it, and I started hearing more and more about it. So, yeah. That's how I feel about
and
that.
And it used to be when you heard about any kind of performance enhancer, you automatically thought one of two things, pro wrestling or baseball.
Exactly.
And now it's synonymous with MMA, and that's kind of bad. You know, we don't want that.
Right, exactly. Yep. The sport is so physically demanding, you know, guys are just trying to heal up quick. I don't think they're just trying to heal up quicker and continue to train, but they're abusing it, you know, so.
Yeah, I agree, 100%. All right, Dustin, you know what? You're such a good interview. I like talking to you. And you're getting so good at it, too.
Yeah.
So here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes, because you know what? I think you're going to need a couple of minutes. Address your fans. tell people about Fightville. I cannot emphasize enough how much I enjoyed that.
Thank you.
And tell people how to find you. Tell people where to watch you fight, what day, well, you know, where they can go, and tell people about your awesome after party where you look really mean in your
I know,
poster.
that's what everybody says.
You look like you're really pissed off to be having a party.
Right? Somebody told me that. They were like, man, I'm not going to this guy's party. He looks mad.
You're mugging on that poster, I ain't gonna lie.
Right. Fightville is you know, it started off, it actually took a couple years to make. It started off when I was an amateur, followed me into pro, you know, and kind of follows a little bit of my life story and behind the scenes of training and all that. And it's out on iTunes right now. You can rent it. It's on video on demand. And, you know, check it out. It's me, Tim Crater, a local fight promotion, and a couple of other fighters. And it's just us, you know, it was me chasing my dreams at the beginning. And it's what got me here, you know, just hard work. And it really shows who I am and how I feel about fighting. And that hasn't changed. You know, I'm still that same guy. I still work hard. So if you want, like, if you're a real fan of mine and you want a little background, you know, it's 1 hour and 40 minutes of the beginning of my fight career, or you know, a little bit after the beginning, a couple years after I started fighting. So check it out, iTunes and VOD on demand. And I'm fighting May 15th, UFC on Fuel TV 3 against Chan Sung Jung. It's going to be an incredible fight. I promise it's going to be a barn burner. They put it for a main event for a reason. And I'm going to take advantage of this opportunity. That's out there in Virginia for UFC on Fuel TV 3. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, Dustin Poirier, same thing on Facebook. And after the fights, after the press conference, my after party, Primetime Sports Grill in Virginia, Fairfax, come check it out.
Sponsored by Head Rush Brand.
Yes, definitely sponsored by Head Rush Brand.
And you can't miss it because there's going to be posters everywhere of Dustin mean mugging, threatening you with his eyes.
Right. I didn't take a picture for the after party. You know, they just kind of posted one. I guess they posted a, I don't know where that's from, but I wasn't happy.
We're gonna have to, you know, you posted a picture a long time ago, and I noticed it's like your Voxer picture, and it's you, it's like an Olin Mills picture of you and your cat or something.
Oh yeah.
I think that they should use that on the poster.
They should. That'd be sweet, man.
That would
Tea
be
and
the
Crumpet
most
party.
amazing. So that, yeah, I think that would be the best.
Right.
Okay.
I photoshopped that picture. That's not really me.
Of course it isn't.
Mr. Fluffy.
Okay, folks, that was the amazing Dustin Diamond Poirier. Stick around. We'll be right back with more Tap Out Radio.